Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
Oh, there's a storm coming.
There's a storm, bro.
It's a cold one too, they reckon.
Yeah.
Half a metre of snow on the desert road, I heard on the news.
Forecast, not yet.
No, not yet. But that's what that is. So I was like, that's a lot of snow. We need Mr. Plough. And that's a 90s Simpsons reference for anybody.
So when is this supposed to hit us?
Well, meteorologists saying one of the most significant snowstorms in recent years. The article I'm reading at the moment says Canterbury from Tuesday, kind of Tuesday night.
Right.
To Thursday morning, the snow is likely to fall there on Christchurch's Port Hills.
So does that mean tonight?
Yeah, so it's kind of hitting the country today. And then they're saying 4 days.
Chilly.
Yeah.
Very chilly.
Wonderful.
Good for those ski fields, though. That's what everybody says. And also, when we get such warning about a storm, like the last couple that I've had, it's always the ones with all the warning that are the fizzers.
Yeah.
It's the ones that come out of nowhere that really take us by surprise.
Yeah, so that's why I'm a bit like, we'll see.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get too excited. I won't get excited until I see some footage from Dunedin of cars putting on their brakes when they come down a hill and just slip sliding into a ditch.
It's a classic.
That's when you know, because my friend is a news cameraman in Dunedin.
Yeah.
Graz. Mm. And he said it's just absolute shooting fish in a barrel in winter. You just wait for the first Dunedin story where they're like, we need footage of people sliding off the road. He's like, I know, just the hill. And it's the same hill every year. People come over, a little too quick, put on the brakes, whoopsie-daisy in the ditch.
All right, today on the show, we've got our world tour, Katy Perry live in LA, thanks to Air New Zealand's Grab a Seat, 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Be listening up for the activators, and we'll have a crack at that. And is it the return, Vaughn, of a favourite segment today?
Yes, it is. It is. Proving New Zealand's a very small place with the return of How Do You Know?
FM.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
Three headlines, three stories. Vaughn and Megan have to pick one. Headline one, teen wakes to bad dream. Teen wakes up to bad dream.
Okay.
Headline two, skydiver lucky to be alive. And headline three, mum corrects media. Those are the three headlines today.
Skydiver lucky to be alive.
Yep.
Do you know, over the weekend, the guy that goes, previously on The Walking Dead, died in a skydiving accident.
Really?
The AMC. He does previously on Breaking Bad. He was the AMC TV
voice guy
that was like, previously on Breaking Bad or previously on The Walking Dead, any AMC show, previously on Hell on Wheels.
And yeah. What, he didn't open his chute or it didn't open?
I don't know. I just read that he was the guy that did it. And yeah, he died. Luckily, previously on The Walking Dead's.
And it's in the bag.
That's all he, yeah, it's in the bag.
Yeah,
for future seasons.
Wow.
Is story one related to, you said teen wakes up, right?
Yeah, teen wakes up to bad dream.
Is that teenager that woke up to a bear crunching his head?
Yes, Megan, yes it is.
A bear crunching his head.
He was,
but I thought that you were camping. Supposed to play dead, and he was technically asleep, so he was playing dead, so the bear shouldn't have.
Yeah, he was in his sleeping bag. And
he
the
woke
bear
up to a crunch.
Yeah,
and it was his skull.
His teeth on his skull. I know. But he's okay. He made it out somehow.
All right. Well, you've done that one, Megan. You've spoiled that.
What? How do you do? If the bear's crunching on your skull.
No, but maybe you know when you bite into like a chocolate and it's got a wafery inside crunchy bit and you're like, oh, yuck. Nah, yuck.
I was like, the bear got put up by the brain.
I wanted the strawberry one.
Brain juice was enough for the bear.
You go to the next one.
I don't know if that's how it works.
So what stories we have left?
Skydiver lucky to be alive, mum corrects media.
Mum corrects media.
All right, we go to New York now where a New York mum, 49, has corrected the media. Now, somehow this story got out in a suburb in New York. There were a lot of complaints to the city's 311 hotline, which I'm assuming is like Not a 911 hotline, but like a kind of a residence. Maybe it's a council thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like a noise.
Potholes and noise.
Right.
That kind of thing. You ring the council. So there were a lot of calls to the city's 311 hotline complaining of loud sex noises.
Okay.
Good.
And constantly. So yeah. The story got out that this young couple, obviously going at it, quite frequently and very loudly, and that's when the mum was like, "I've got to correct the media. I've got to step in here because the mum, 49, outed herself as
she was having the sex,
the culprit,
perpetrator,
with her younger lover, a 26-year-old boyfriend.
Ayo.
So she's 49, he's 26." And so the media reported that it was
nearly half her age.
I know, the media were like, it's this young couple, just, you know, they're obviously a new couple.
Well, one half of it was a young couple.
Yeah.
The other half was a woman in her sexual prime.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently the highest number of complaints of the city's 311 hotline ever.
She just wanted to make sure she got the credit. She wanted to tell everyone. Mm. Actually, my boyfriend. I'm
showing you a photo of them.
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Not my cup of tea.
Not what I would have expected.
No, neither of them. Neither of them. No, I'm more of a... They might be interesting, like, mash them together into one person. That could be an interesting...
Right. So she's come out and said, look, it's me. It's not
it's just my daughter. Young lover.
Yeah.
It's me. It's not my son. I'm just out there having lots of sex with my much younger lover.
What's his name? Do they have a name for the younger lover?
She's called Olga, and he's called Byron.
Byron?
Yeah.
Two very unattractive names.
I was hoping he would have like a French-sounding name. You always want your younger lover to have a name of French origin. Mm. Not Byron. Byron. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, it's good. Well, at least she's getting some. We just sound like jealous.
Exactly, because we're not, sure. Well, I mean,
certainly my love making has never been of a caliber.
Megan just did this gross look like.
Speak yourself.
Oh, so did you.
Whatever.
So did you.
You shouldn't be. You've got a bung hip. You should be letting that heal. Fletch.
Yeah, how long
did the doctor say? Oh. How long did the doctor say that you've got to not be using your hip?
Refrain from sexual activity.
Trademark Megan Starfish technique doesn't require a lot of hip action.
You don't know.
You don't know. Great defense. Great defense. You don't know.
Well, you've never been there.
Oh, God.
Thankfully.
Let's agree to never discuss this again.
I'm going to move this conversation on because it's very awkward and uncomfortable.
FEM.
I was raised a Roman Catholic. That was when we were growing up. We went to church. I got everything. I did the first communion. I did the baptism. I did the confirmation. I have since strayed from the flock.
Rosary beads,
which I think are a lovely decoration. Yes, Fletch, they can be. Every fifth one's a bit of a, ooh, because it's a Hail Mary and then an Our Father. Every fifth one's a, you work your way around the rosary. There's like five little beads and then a big bead.
Right.
And you go, Hail Mary, something, something.
I have no idea.
And then the fifth one's a big bead and you do Our Father Art in Heaven and you work your way around. That's kind of a dedication.
So when you do something bad, you just go Hail Mary, Hail Mary.
No, he's like, no, that's different. You just do it. You just do it every day to show your dedication, I think. But then when you go to confession and you're like, I have done something naughty.
Why are you telling us about your religious past?
Well, I want to say that the Vatican.
Yeah.
This is the home of Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
It's its own country. You guys have both been there. Yeah. Vatican City. It's the smallest country in the world, I think.
It is.
Little post office and everything.
Yeah, it's where the Pope resides. It's his own country. They've actually banned gluten-free bread from the communion.
Okay.
So if you're a celiac, you should avoid communion at the Vatican because you'll get an irritated gut.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't agree with you.
No, it doesn't agree with your body. So
is this just a publicity thing to stray away from last week's gay sex orgy at the Vatican?
We never talked about the gay sex orgy.
Right.
See, you're talking about the gluten-free bread now. You've forgotten about the gay sex orgy in the Vatican.
The gay sex orgy was some hot news.
It really was.
I like to imagine it was like... Hello, it's me, the Pope, coming in.
No, wait.
North in Vatican City, I don't wait. Opens the doors. Holy moly.
Oh, I should have put more in my Google search.
What did you just search?
What did you get?
Gay sex orgy.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
How many flag did I take?
More keywords. More keys. Refine your search.
Megan, you've got to be less vague when searching Google.
All IT's the details. Like, all right, 20 plus 6, Tuesday morning, we've got a porn alert. Megan Sellers. What are you, gay not, sex orgy, yikes.
Not the computer we expected that to be searched on.
No. Oh, maybe that Carl Fletcher's got behind her keyboard. Or Vaughn's strolled over, or who's it? Who knows?
It's definitely her.
So what came up?
What you'd imagine.
No pictures. Right. I don't think the Pope was popping pictures on his iPhone 7 when he walked in there.
No. Well, I haven't searched images.
I wouldn't.
You know you can close that down now, Megan. You don't need to keep it open.
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
It's the top six.
Today's top six, the Tour de France. It's the Tour de France that's on at the moment, eh? It's not just some other. Do the French do many other high-profile cycle races?
I think this is their one for.
This is their big one.
Their big one.
The Tour de France, of course, translates to the Tour of France.
Thank you.
I know. A lot of people wouldn't have got that French translation.
Lucky you speak French.
Yeah, thank you. So the top six things the French could graffiti on the roads of the Tour de France, because they have been stencilings, freehand painting, spray painting, brush painting, big DMB, the old
doodling balls.
Doodling balls. I like the dicks are too offensive a word for you to say, so you've said doodling balls.
Thank you, but then you said it anyway.
The penis and the testicles.
Yes.
In cartoon form. Some very anatomically correct. I've seen some great ones.
It is
detail, but some just very basic.
It's kilometres long. I mean, they cycle all over France.
Yeah.
So are they doing it as they go, these people? And why are they doing it? What's their motive?
The first person, probably for a lull, and it came to attention, but now everyone that lives along the route is doing it just so they can see their painted CMB on the road.
I Googled it.
I grew up in the country, and for some reason, country people love writing messages on the road. Like when someone got married down the road from us growing up, it was like, they just got married, toot your horn. So these poor people just got married, and the annoying thing is for years,
because
they don't reseal country roads often. So these CMBs, they could be on the road for a very long time.
Oh, God.
So the top six other things the French could graffiti on the roads for the Tour de France. Number six, a Banksy. Banksy should get down there.
Oh, yeah, Banksy.
Get a Banksy on the road.
That'd
maybe
be great.
Towards the finish line of the Tour de France, because they've got a little while, so they could get that in there.
Yeah.
Number five, a swear word in French, such as va tu faire enculer.
Oh, sounded real sexy.
Yeah, thanks. It's a very offensive swear word. Sorry to the French people listening. Yes. You can't get it. What I just said, I could never get away with saying in English.
But could you?
Va tu faire enculer.
What are the broadcasting standards for a French word? Because it's not English. Have you found a loophole?
I maybe have found a loophole.
In the broadcasting standards.
Well, you've got to have said it. People have got to have understood it. Be willing to complain about it.
Yep. I'm sure our French listeners will.
Oh no, all the old people that love complaining.
Yeah,
they're still angry about the Rainbow Warriors, so they're not. They're not going to complain about that.
Right.
They're still very angry at the French. Number four on the list, the Wu-Tang W. Wu-Tang haven't been around for so long, but I still see a fresh Wu-Tang W every now and then. It was always good to do a Wu-Tang W or a S. Remember the old S? You did three lines and then left a gap, another three lines, and then you crossed them over, and to put a triangle on the top and bottom, you got yourself a Southside S.
Yeah.
Number three on the list are fake warning signs like bridge out or road closed. If you're going 65 kilometres an hour, absolutely hauling ass on a tiny bike that weighs next to nothing in a crowd of very aggressive other skinny men.
Yeah.
Seeing a sign like road closed or bridged out would really cause a little bit of a panic. Number two on the list of the top six things the French could graffiti on the roads of the Tour de France, their best cartoon character. Everybody thought they could draw Bart Simpson back in the day.
Yeah.
Much harder than you thought.
It's a spiky hair was the easy bit.
Yeah. Other easy ones are SpongeBob SquarePants, Sonic the Hedgehog, or Snoopy. Or an angry bird. An angry bird might be easy because they're round.
Yeah.
And the number one thing the French could graffiti on the roads of the Tour de France, so they get sick of drawing CMB, boobs. Easiest thing to graffiti, boobs.
Yeah.
You can go like two circles, or you can go sort of like the under shape of the boobs. Yep. That's today's top six. FVM, the podcast. FVM. I at the weekend just accidentally stumbled on what's going to be my dad's saying.
Okay.
Growing up, and I can see this coming in very much in handy when the girls are teenagers. I've just said, because my wife said, you've said this a lot lately, and it was unintentional, so this is what my dad's saying is going to be. I tell you something, or I impart a bit of wisdom.
Okay, yep.
Like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Yeah, but what the bloody hell do I know? That's it.
What the hell would I know?
What the hell do I know? So you say something, and then you back it up with, yeah, but what would I know?
Like it's...
What is it? Is that sort of a passive aggressive?
Yeah.
Like you're saying, what would I know? Yeah.
Like I've told you.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've told you. Oh, what would I know? You're not going to listen. You're going to do it anyway.
That's so dadsy.
I know. It's ultra dadsy.
It's also a little bit like passive aggressive towards your wife.
It is passive aggressive.
Yeah. Like she's made a decision and you're like, well, what would I know?
No. Mostly it's about like, it hasn't been directed at her. We've been talking about something else for somebody else.
Right.
And I'll say, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but what would I know? And not to her. God, I would. Come on, you know me better than this. I'm a pro at this game. I know what to say and when to say it.
Right.
By now.
Right. But I mean, what would you know?
Yeah, what would I know? I wouldn't say that, but what would I know? So that's going to, I've decided. And it's nice. So, it's just a little bit of.
And you'll be like, do you like this dress, Dad? And you're like, oh, well, no, it's a bit revealing, but what the bloody hell would I know?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's great use of it in a natural environment.
Yeah, right.
But every dad's got a dad saying.
Yeah, my dad always says, she'll be right.
Yeah.
But that's real Kiwi, yeah. That's a real Kiwi.
My dad just finishes sentences with, yeah, no, and all that. When he's sitting, that's like his et cetera.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, she's been busy and, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So, yes, my Uncle Rog, he's got the best one because he says fair go and it's for everything.
Fair go.
Like, if he's surprised, he's like, fair go. If he's angry, he's like, fair go. Like, and he can use that.
It just changes tone.
And he can use, like, the F word. You know how the F word can be used for anything.
Yeah,
it's a great, very versatile word that I can't wait until we've moved to part of society where I can say that freely on the radio because it's a great word.
Yeah.
But yeah, fair go.
Fair go.
And he can use it for anything.
Fair go. What would I know?
Absolutely beautiful. Oh, fair go. But you know, what would I know?
God.
So I would love to know what your dad's dad saying is this morning.
Okay,
I know 800 dials anymore. You can text 9696.
My dad says, please your bloody self.
That's kind of along the same lines as, but what would I know?
That's like, but if you asked for something, it's like he's not giving his permission. So you couldn't, like, I couldn't do it. You know, he would be like, please yourself. You're like, oh, that's
Dad,
not permission, though.
Can I go to the mall and meet my friends?
Can I go to this party? Please your bloody self.
Oh, good.
Because
he's not accepting
the
responsibility.
Yeah.
He's not accepting the, because if there's fallout, he's like, well, I told you, please your bloody self.
It's not officially saying yes, so it's hard to, like, do it.
All right, so.
That's a good one.
Do you think if someone calls in.
It's almost like dad wisdom.
Yeah. Mm. If someone calls in with their dad saying and it's a good one, will you adopt it? Like, are you open to another dad saying? Vaughn or not? You don't know.
I've not written off the possibility of another dad saying. Maybe a couple to the arsenal, but I'm pretty sure what the bloody hell did I know or what the hell did I know
is a good one. Is your number
it
one.
It kind of sums up where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah.
0800 dials at M9696. Give us a call or a text now with your dad saying.
We're talking about your dad sayings, a saying your dad used often and meaningfully.
Yeah.
Maybe dad was a man of few words.
Well, maybe he still to this day says it, and he has for as long as you can remember.
Yep. James messaged in saying, my dad's saying is, if you can't be good, be careful. That was what he'd say to us kids every weekend. If you can't be good, be careful.
Okay, that's a good advice from dad.
It's a good bit of advice from dad. That's a good saying.
Yeah.
If you ever ask dad what he's doing, he'd always say climbing a tree. I've never seen my dad up a tree. He just always...
What?
Say that. If you were giving dad a bit of a tale of pity, he'd always say, well, tomorrow's another day. That's what he'd say, you know, shake it off. Tomorrow's another day. When driving, my mum would try to give my dad directions. And in fact, if dad was ever told how to do anything that he was doing, he'd always say, now who's shagging this cat?
Oh, my
gosh. Dad, what are you talking
about? Hopefully nobody. Maybe another cat? Somebody said, my angry Indian dad would often yell, someone's going to get hit real bad. Which is, we can laugh about now. My dad's saying whenever we ask him where something is, he'd say, hanging off my back on a 6-inch nail. That was always... That's a weird one, eh?
Yeah.
That's a weird dad. Sayings are so weird.
Ella, your dad's saying?
So after the movie Pay It Forward came out, he used to just do whatever he wanted and then just say Pay It Forward. Come in if I was watching television and just take the remote and he would say Pay It Forward. And then just start watching sport.
I don't think it works
No,
it doesn't. Yeah, he would just do whatever he wanted and he would just take over any room and say, pay it forward.
I love when dads don't understand the origins of a saying. They just like how it sounds and they make it their own.
He hasn't even seen the movie.
Oh, okay.
he got his own interpretation on it.
Ella, thanks for your call.
Thank you, bye.
Emma, what's your dad saying?
So my dad is ex-military, so he's been all over the world. So growing up, I was always doing like school projects on things and my dad would always fire out like a really cool fact about a city or an animal and then he'd follow it up with, pick that one up in Brazil, which meant it was...
pick that one up in ... That's brilliant. Yeah,
which means it was a total lie.
Right.
Oh.
I didn't learn until I grew up that every time my dad followed it with, I picked that one up in blah, 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 that it was a total lie. So I would have all these really like... not true facts on all of my projects.
You're in school failing because your projects are all like BS.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I did one on hippos once when I was younger and my dad was like, you know, I was travelling through Brazil once and I learnt that hippos swallow rocks so that they can stay sunken under the water.
Pick that one up in Brazil.
You can't. Like, I'm all for telling the kids amusing fibs, but not when they're doing a school project that's going to like impact on their education. That's pretty gold, though.
But it kind of comes in handy because now that we're adults, if he wants to tell a lie in front of someone else, he'll say, you know, like, I met a Brazilian guy the other day or last time I went to Brazil. And then he's
It was always Brazil?
Yeah, it's always Brazil.
I thought the consistent was, I picked that one up. And,
right.
But it's always Brazil, right?
No, it's always Brazil. So how did I not pick up on it?
Yeah. Dad, eh? Big fibber. Hey, Emma, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Some other text messages in of Dad sayings. If you ever asked Dad where anybody was, mum, brothers, sisters, anybody, gone down south to shave a hairy pig with a horse knife. It was Dad's.
What?
These started to get real
what,
weird.
Dad?
With a horse knife. Oh, they've messaged again. Sorry, that made no sense. Gorse knife.
Oh, okay.
Still makes no sense.
Well, a horse knife made more sense. I think there was, I don't know.
Right.
Who's shagging the cat? You need to finish with it. Is somebody else. So no, someone said if you're using the saying who's shagging the cat, you need to finish with it. It's who's shagging the cat. Oh, I don't know. The last half of that seems wildly inappropriate to run.
Yeah, maybe
okay.
Stop there.
Some other ones. Dad would always say, you're like a fart in a beer bottle, if we were being annoying. You break it, you buy it, and it's not going to be cheap. So, yeah, there was no shortage of dad sayings floating around.
How do you think your dad's saying?
Pretty good. I think it's going to be very versatile.
How does your wife feel about your saying?
Versatile. Well, I used it a lot at the weekend.
Yeah.
She's like, you're trying to make this a thing.
Yeah. She's like, you're really taking it for a good run.
Instead of you're going to warm these things up.
You got to use these things a lot at the start if you want them to stick, but you know, what would I know?
Oh, God.
You're listening to the Fleach, Vaughn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at MyRepublic.
Yeah, OneRepublic, with hit songs such as Apologise.
It's MyRepublic.
Yeah,
that's OneRepublic.
That's OneRepublic.
So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, MyRepublic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal.
Fletch, this is for you and other people who love cats. Although this affects me more than it affects you.
Okay.
There are councils around New Zealand that are kind of banding together to put to the government a new set of national rules for cat ownership.
Okay.
They, and Dunedin City Council is one of them, wants to lobby for rules such as collars with bells to protect, like mandatory collars with bells so that they scare off birds before they can eat them. And cat rangers.
So like dog rangers.
Yeah, I don't know what they look like around the country, but in Auckland, whenever I've seen them, they're in like a red van. Yeah. And they're out to get dogs. They're like, they're looking for stray dogs or loose dogs or dangerous dogs.
Rip kids' faces off.
Yeah, but cats rip Kiwis' faces off. I don't have any proof of a Kiwi specifically involved in a cat attack, but other native birds.
Right, okay.
They kill a lot of native birds.
But not in your typical suburb. One of those are just the cats near national parks.
No, there's tuis and stuff in your standard suburb.
They're up in trees. Cats can't get them.
Cats can get up in trees. You see, your cat's an inside cat, so your cat's got no problem.
Yeah.
And one of the rules is shutting cats in overnight.
Is this what they're
proposing?
Because you
don't know where they go. Like, dogs have to be, you know, dogs just can't roam the streets at night or they end up in the pound. They've got to be in a fenced section or, you know, inside the house so they can't just roam at night. And I've often thought you always know where your dog is. You don't know where your cat is because your cat can bound over the fence. My cat's a shocker at it.
Yeah, right.
He's a little bastard.
It would affect you more because you'd have to lock your cat inside.
I know, yeah. And he's a pain because the kids will play. We've got one of those cat doors that you can, it's got a lock on one side to stop it opening in and a lock on the other to stop it going out. So if you twist both, the cat can't go in or out.
Do you know, I saw an ad on Facebook the other day. You can get an app now to control your cat door. So you can just be like, all flaps closed.
What?
there's a cat door.
But then that would require power and an internet connection.
I don't know how it works, Vaughn. I don't know if you have to plug in the cat door or if there's batteries or something.
Battery, I'd say.
It must be batteries. But yeah, so apparently you can use this app. So during the night or the day, you could choose when it's open and stuff.
Lockdown.
Yeah, lockdown. Yeah.
Curfew.
And then Tiddles is locked inside.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that would be a problem. Cats, you know, that's the nature of cats. They do a lot of hunting at night under the cover of darkness.
Being a cat ranger. Like patrolling the streets.
We have found your future.
I can be a cat ranger.
Yeah. No, you just end up taking them all home.
I know. I just pat them. I just pat them all.
You're a cute one. You're a cute one.
Treats.
Come with me.
They're like, all that's happened is all the stray cats have got really fat.
Not the manky ones, though. The stray cats, he'd leave. He'd steal people's
actual
pedigree
cats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're out roaming the streets. I'm a cat ranger.
You got to
what I have
them,
to do.
Take them to a home that loves them and won't let them ever go outside ever again.
Man, people are going to, you don't mess with crazy cat ladies.
No.
Like, these councillors are going to find themselves unelected pretty quick.
Yeah, because
when the cat ladies get onto
crazy cat ladies might brush a bit of fur off their cardigans and head down to the voting booth next local election. Oh, you can do it from home, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Even better for them, their cat can help them vote.
But those rules are really good.
I think they're great rules.
And your cat stay in at night.
And microchip
cats. Maybe you'll get more
cats.
Snuggles. Yeah.
So, because, you know, when they find a cat, they can scan it and see whose cat it is. It's good for dogs, it's good for cats.
Yeah.
I think it's a good rule.
It's fine for your cat, though.
But you're right. Whenever anyone tangos with a cat, like everybody quite liked Gareth Morgan, eh?
Oh, then he's never going to get into Parliament.
He would go on bike tours around Africa helping, you know, poverty-stricken villages dig wells and a philanthropist. But as soon as he was like, I think we should outlaw cats, everyone's like, you son of a bitch.
Way to alienate yourself to half the country.
Yeah.
Evil
Satan man.
Ooh, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Merry Christmas. 166 days until Christmas is upon us again.
Is that halfway?
We're over halfway.
Over
it's
halfway,
July.
365 divided by twos. We're over halfway. We're over halfway to Christmas. So let's have a look around. First of all, I'd like to give a special mention to Scott. Scott was in Chartwell Square. This is in Hamilton.
Yep.
In Chartwell there. And he said, this looks unusual. And a post on the Residents of Rototuna page says, Christmas seems to be getting earlier and earlier. It's come very early this year to Chartwell. And they've got a full white Christmas tree assembled in the area of Chartwell where you can see two floors uninterrupted.
Was it a midwinter thing, midwinter Christmas, or they're just getting up
early?
There's
snowflakes and everything. Well, there's been further investigation into it, and he wants to know where we stand on winter-themed ice skating rinks for school holidays.
Oh, right, okay.
And I said, well, that wouldn't usually count, but the tree they've used is very Christmas tree. Now, to me, winter and Christmas aren't mutually exclusive, especially here in New Zealand.
No,
you can have a winter-themed Christmas, winter-themed skating rink without the Christmas tree.
Are there Christmas decorations on the tree at the skating rink?
Not a lot.
Well, then that, there is some.
It is a decorated tree.
Oh, no, then it shouldn't be decorated.
But then how do you do winter decorations?
You just snow on it. Snow. Yeah.
Snow men. So you know, they don't belong to Christmas. Oh, so it's a Christmas tree, so it adds to Christmas penetration. Let's have a look around. Jess has let us know it's only July, and the Highbury Shopping Centre in Birkenhead, Auckland, is getting into the Christmas spirit. All of the shops, I thought this might have just been a Barfoot and Thompson issue, as the other shop that her photo features most prominently. But if you look further down the street, you can indeed see other areas, other shop fronts with the Christmas decorations out.
Now again, is this a mid-Christmas themed thing that they did?
Or a mid-year Christmas?
Or have they not taken down last Christmas's decorations?
But that's the thing, we've had no reports, and I know various people from Birkenhead, that area, listen to the show and would be aware of our never-ending search for Christmas penetration.
Yeah.
So as I can only imagine, perhaps midwinter, but I doubt whether we're going to see those taken down before the big day in 166 days. Somebody would like to report this from a supermarket. This is an international, this is because it's got a euro price on it.
Okay.
However, they were at the supermarket buying, and the divider that you put between your shopping and the person in front of you's shopping had Christmas writing on it. It said, have you got all your festive favourites?
Not yet.
Is that a special Yuletide divider that somehow slipped into general population of dividers?
Yeah, maybe they needed some more dividers, so they dipped into Christmas.
Dipped into the Christmas divider to use either way.
Need a reminder.
Counts towards penetration. And somebody said their mother shared this on Facebook, a Christmas Live Facebook page. This is from a few days ago. That said, there are 172 days till Christmas. So this was, six days ago? There are 172 days till Christmas, 173 sleeps, and let us down to the minute as to how many minutes there are till Christmas.
Well, I forgot to screenshot it, but I got sent a Snapchat. Somebody saw an ad for, like, Christmas functions. Like, you better book yours now,
book
it's nearly Christmas.
Function. Yeah, they like to get those out around about this time of the year because everyone starts thinking about it.
Well, 166 days until Christmas.
So I guess you could say...
Ho, 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 ho! Right now, Christmas penetration is at...
3.5%.
Ooh, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yesterday, it really gathered a lot of steam, reached that crucial tipping point. And Jaden K. Smith became... someone who will be added to the list of people we heard about for a day or two in 2017.
And then forgot all about. So this is, it's some people are calling it a Facebook scam, but it really isn't scamming any of your details, is it?
No. There's no scam. There's no ill, like, it, you know, there's nothing to achieve here. You're not downloading anything.
It seems like more of someone's joke, really. Someone's just trolling the internet as a whole.
Or maybe Jaden K. Smith is a friend of theirs. And they were like, I'm going to play a joke on this guy and said to everybody, oh, don't accept a friend request from Jaden K. Smith because he's a hacker and he'll get all your details. And if your friends are friends with him, then you've already been hacked, and send it out to all their contacts. And of course, then they send it on to theirs. It's like chain mail. It ends up going everywhere.
So this was hitting the news sites last night. Basically, people get a message from their friends saying, don't add this guy on Facebook.
Yeah.
His name is Jaden K. Smith.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. I'll read this.
I got this yesterday at 5:45 in the evening from my mother. Tell all your contacts in your messenger list not to accept Jaden K. Smith. He's a hacker and has the system connected to your Facebook account, which doesn't actually mean anything. If one of your contacts accepts it, you will also be hacked. So make sure that all your friends know about this. Forward as received. Hold your finger down on the message. At the bottom in the middle, it will say forward. Then click on the names of those in your list and it will send it to them. So I got that from my mum one-on-one.
Yep.
I got that from my mum in a group.
Yep.
Or like a wider family group.
I got it from your mum.
You got it from my mum.
I was like, oh my God.
Did you just get it just
mum to you once? Yeah. Or were you part of a
No,
a
I just got it
group?
Just from Christine.
You got one-on-one. She's Megan like, was not warned about Jaden K. Smith by cybersecurity expert Christine Smith.
She knows I'm real savvy on the internet.
She knows you're smart. She knows you're not accepting any friend requests from Jaden K. Smith.
But yeah, it just, I guess, got into that mum market, like those Range Rovers with a bow around them that's like, tell us what colour you want and share this page and you could be winning a Range Rover.
Or share this post because Qantas are giving away 150 first-class flights around the world worth $50,000.
Or who wants a $10,000 Mitre 10 mega voucher? All you've got to do is share this and for the first 10,000 people we'll give away $10,000.
I mean, do the maths on that that's for just a second.
Even Mitre 10 mega, that's going to bankrupt Mitre 10 mega. So Jaden K. Smith, nothing to worry about.
Well, I messaged Vaughn. I said, Vaughn, what's your mum doing?
Bless.
Because this is before I just got out of the movies and I was just about to go in. I was like, I didn't know the news was, this was a news story.
Yeah.
It was a thing sweeping the world.
If you asked her, though, she probably couldn't explain what that message even means.
No. I said to her, I was like, I don't think that's how it works, mum. She said, I'm just forwarding on a message that I received from one of my contacts. Better to be safe than sorry.
I got all scared.
Yeah, so what were the people in the group chat that you got it from? Were they worried?
So that wider group chat was like my brother and his wife.
Yep.
They live in Australia and her parents.
Right.
So it was like this wider family group. And that started out with mum sending that message and then my brother's father-in-law saying, oh, heck, all right, well, so what do I do now then? What's my next play, Christine?
Yeah.
Which is asking my mum what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And then my brother's like, I don't think you need to worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be able to get any information. And I go on my online banking on this computer. Will he have that information? Right. Just full panic mode.
Yeah.
About something that's, you know, it's not clicked on anything, not done anything. And then my brother was saying to his father-in-law, you should just put all your money into our bank account. It's just the safest thing to do. And then the scam started internally.
Right, I see.
Didn't end up going through it. Put a stop to all that. But
Jaden K. Smith, rubbish.
Nothing to worry about.
All right, Spy is
next. And there's probably a Jaden K. Smith out there who's like,
isn't that Will Smith's son?
Spelt different.
Oh, yeah.
But same name,
yeah.
My best friend Ellie is going on a trip. She's doing like an Eat, Pray, Love trip. She's going to Rarotonga by herself.
Right.
Coming up. And she always does.
What part of Eat, Pray, Love's Rarotonga?
Eat.
You can eat. I was really impressed when I went there last year with the cuisine options. Some of the loveliest Mexican I've ever had at Murray.
Really? On some Rarotonga? Really?
The best Mexican I've ever had. And I don't believe they were Mexicans. Just a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
I don't think they were Mexicans.
Okay.
She might find love too, you know.
I don't
imagine she'll be praying. But she does a lot for me all the time. She picked me up from the airport at like 4 a.m. when we came back from our holiday.
Oh, she's crazy.
It was a Saturday morning.
Any friend do that? I'd pick any of you up from the airport at 4 a.m.
But I wouldn't want someone coming to pick me up at 4 something in the morning.
But then you dropped her off at the airport one morning before work.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, she owes you then. Okay.
Because that's when my wife saw that Ellie going to pick up, she's like, Ellie's mental, eh?
In the best possible way.
Yeah, I think just like the way we've been discussing, like 4 o'clock, like take your friend to the airport, but not at 4 o'clock. And I said, I'm sure Megan's dropped her at the airport before work before though.
But then
she was like,
oh,
that's
all
right. Then you just scratch, you're even now.
No, but she always does these awesome things for me. When I was jet lagged, I slept most of the day and she brought me dinner at like 7 p.m. She's awesome.
Does she want to sleep with you? Like, is she in love with you? She's a single white female.
No.
Could be.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do something special for her because she's like, I have to wait till I get paid to like buy a nice summer outfit to go to Rarotonga.
Okay. Right.
She showed me some togs she liked online and I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to sneaky buy these for her because she said she had to wait till she got paid.
This is unbelievable. Like, you know, my birthday was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm sorry for you. You were in Barcelona or
anything.
Germany or something on your birthday. No one here is feeling any pity for you.
Book a holiday on your birthday. I make sure I'm here and count down.
I can receive presents when I get back, Megan.
Megan, is your birthday in 14 days?
Yes. I was about to say 14 sleeps to go. So I thought I'd buy her this pair of togs that she really wanted because I was like, she's not going to be able to buy them because she's waiting for payday. Mm-hmm. And she also wanted my help to buy, you know, like shop online.
Yeah.
So I bought these togs for her. Now, they took a while to get here, like 10 days postage, 6 days in, so they hadn't got here yet. She's like, I got paid and I finally bought those togs for myself.
Oh, no.
How, can I ask how much they were, or do I not want to know?
They weren't actually that expensive. I think they were like $35. Yeah, but you're,
how much?
$35.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, cool. Because you're not that expensive isn't Vaughn and I's not that expensive.
No, I know that expensive is vastly different to you're not that expensive.
So now I ended up having to tell her. I was like, well, you've ruined your own surprise because I actually bought those togs for you.
Oh.
What did she say? Well, can you wear them?
You're such a...
Yeah,
I didn't mean it like that.
Extra small.
The bit of one paid 30, I'd be squeezing into them.
Them anyway.
If I bought Ali togs, I'd be squeezing into them. I'm not even the same gender. I'd be, Vaughn, your balls are hanging out the side. I made $35 for these. You'll look at my balls.
My thigh would probably fit in the waist area, but I'd give
she's
it a go.
She's a tiny person. She's tiny.
But what are you supposed to do in that instance? Because I was trying to keep it a surprise. Yeah. And then she went and bought them for herself. So now I've just got a random pair of extra small.
My mum always had the rule you weren't allowed to buy anything for yourself a month before your birthday or a month before Christmas. That was mum's rule.
Well, that's a good rule.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd go out and buy it yourself. But can you just give her the... So she's got two pairs?
Yeah, of exactly the same colour. Exactly the same.
That's a no, because that's what I do when I really like something.
Okay,
like, save one for when the first togs get stolen or you lose them or they are faded and no good anymore. Yeah. And you've got an immediate pair to replace them.
Yeah.
So if she likes them, great.
It's like these jeans I'm wearing. These are one of the pairs that I bought. I liked them, so I bought three pairs.
Oh, my God.
One pair got ripped.
Yeah.
Second pair, stained. I'm down to my last pair.
Okay.
Well, I still wear the stained pair. But that was like clever thinking. So the togs could also work in that way.
Okay. Well, they were only not horrifically expensive or anything. So I can cut my losses.
$35.
That's upper what I'd pay for togs.
But I'd like to know if this has happened to anyone else. Like if you have probably more expensive, if you've ever tried to surprise someone with a gift and they've ruined it for themselves.
Yep. Or you were the person that ruined it by buying something and then your friend's like,
Because I always get put on a ban too before my birthday.
Yeah.
Because I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because you do it behind like people's... I do it
on the sly.
Yeah, because you've got a shopping problem.
Sly shopper. You can't help yourself.
So 0800 dials at him 9696.
When did someone ruin your gift?
So we want to know when you've ruined a gift. 0800 dials at him. You can text in as well, 9696.
How's this text message? Booked my girlfriend a 4-day trip to Queenstown. She'd never been. It was for her birthday.
Yep.
It was the first birthday and our first time away from the baby, who was 14 months old.
Yeah.
Organised Nana to take care of the baby for the time we were away.
Oh, okay.
The most trusted person. Everything was sorted.
Mm.
2 weeks out, she said, I hope you haven't planned anything big. I do not want to leave the baby. And I don't want to do anything big. So I organized something else. And to this day, I have never told her that I had a trip to Queenstown because I thought it would make her feel stink ahead of her birthday. $800 on flights that were non-refundable.
She's being silly.
No, but she would enjoy it. She would enjoy it once she'd gone, wouldn't she? I mean...
Yeah, I think
I would have said, look, here's the deal. I have surprised you. I've booked something pretty epic.
It depends if you'd booked anything. You could take a baby because they just sit on your knee on the plane. But then there's something to be said for time away from your kids. Like, I love my kids, but God. So it's so good. It's just...
You time, babes.
Like, the first baby, I think Indy was 13 months the first time we left her.
Yep.
August was like 13 hours.
See ya!
That's such a waste of money.
I know, and never having... Never having hung it over her head in an argument. Oh, how does he do it? He's got superpowers.
Katie, when did you ruin a gift?
My boyfriend bought me quite an expensive watch for Christmas about a month out because it was slightly cheaper. And then a week before Christmas, I bought myself the exact same watch in the exact same colour, and I was wearing it on Christmas Day. He was a little bit unobservant. He didn't realise I was wearing the watch. He gave me the present and was like, Oh, no, you had two of them.
Oh. Why did you buy yourself something like that a week out from Christmas?
Well, he had made it like seem like that's not what he was buying me. Like, I walked up to it and I was like, oh, this is so nice. And he was like, oh, I don't really like those watches. And I was like,
No, but that's the trick you do when you're a...
Yeah, but...
When you're a boyfriend.
babes.
So what did you? What did you take one of them back or?
Because you can change the watch strap. He just took the watch back and then got like two different sets of straps for me to keep with my other watch.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a good idea.
Hey, thanks. You cool, Katie?
No worries.
Another Katie. When did you ruin? Did you ruin your gift or did someone ruin the gift you got for them?
Someone ruined it for me. I got my best friend a skydiving voucher.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend got her one as well.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll get you something else and I'll just use the voucher. And it took me a year to use and it was like a week before the expiry. Because I was scared.
So you had to pluck up the courage.
Yeah, it took the whole length of the expiry date.
Why not give her both, though? Because she might have really liked the first one, so she might have gone up
and seen. I gave her the choice, but she ended up getting a cool tent from me so she could go camping and skydiving.
Oh, nice.
So you bought her another gift. I'd almost say, like,
yeah, tough.
The second one would have to be very cheap.
All right, thanks, Katie.
Some texts. I got my boyfriend a GoPro set up before Christmas. He was trying to buy one.
Yeah.
Luckily, I managed to talk him out of it and say, wait till Boxing Day. They're so much cheaper. They'll definitely be involved in a Boxing Day sale.
So this is a good story.
Yeah.
Like, they actually, okay,
they
good.
They didn't get it ruined. So that's a good tip.
I would have picked up on that hint.
Tell them that they were, that's what you could have said, Dally. I wouldn't buy it. Yeah, this is, oh, no, because she wanted it to go to on a specific holiday, for a specific purpose. Yeah. I always wanted to go to New York. Absolute lifetime dream. My parents knew about this. My parents booked flights and for them and me.
Yep.
But told me it was just a trip for them. I lost my shit. I went crazy at them. Little did I know they'd booked me to go with them and it was meant to be a surprise for my 21st.
But because they'd lost their shit and
they
had a tantee.
They'd ruined. Yeah, they had to tell me. They had to give it to me early because I'd misbehaved so poorly.
And then didn't deserve it anyway.
Yeah, didn't deserve it. Well, that's how they ruined their own gift. They carried on like a little brat. Last year, desperate to go to Adele. My sister was being super non-committal about going, which was like, this is so weird. And I was like, argh. So I just went online and bought tickets.
Oh, no.
Here comes Christmas. I get an envelope from my sister. Two tickets to Adele, one for me, one for her.
Oh.
Felt terrible. I told her the other ones I bought myself were actually better seats, so we should sit in them and we should sell it.
Oh, the ones you bought were shit, so...
But then in a way, you bought, that's her Christmas gift covered too.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Okay.
In fact, you spent more on her Christmas gift than she did on yours. I'm not sure how that works out. But yeah, that'll ruin a Christmas gift. After 8 this morning, it's the return of New Zealand's fastly becoming New Zealand's favourite segment on the radio programme. How do you know?
Did you give him permission?
No, I didn't give him permission.
How do you know? I saw a gap and I've slipped it right in.
Okay.
How do you know after 8 o'clock this morning?
If this one doesn't work, it's not coming back.
Okay. Nah.
FBM, the podcast.
All right, it's time for a ridiculous radio segment.
Yep. It's where we pick one random New Zealander who calls the show and we see how many people listening know them and through what avenues... Do they know this person?
Oh, okay. Well,
we've
found...
It's introspective. It's getting to know us, getting to know you, getting to know...
And what's the point of that, you may ask? We don't know.
Like every great thing in life. No point.
Okay, well, we've found Listener Zero.
Have we, Listener Zero? Yep. That's what we're calling it.
Let me just get Listener Zero standing by. Are you ready, Vaughn?
Well, we need to know Listener Zero's name.
Oh, right. Okay.
Listener Zero, what's your name?
It's Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane.
How do you know if it's really Sarah Jane? How do you know if it's him or her?
Or that double Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane, three syllable names.
Oh, it's
hard. We did it, though. We worked it in there.
Yeah.
We worked it in there. So now we get to know Sarah Jane. And if you know Sarah Jane, you can start calling at any stage.
Do people always call you Sarah Jane or do they call you Sarah or Jane or... Sarah Jane?
I bet you got a nickname, which is SJ.
Oh, so your SJ. First name is Sarah-Jane.
It is indeed.
And people call you SJ. SJ. Now, where in the country are you?
I'm in Christchurch.
Oh, okay. What school did you go to?
That's a Christchurch classic.
I love that question.
I went to good old Avonside.
Okay, Avonside.
How
old are you, SJ?
I am
27. So it's been a few years since you left Avonside.
It has been.
What did you do when you finished high school?
I left high school and did a tourism course at Sir George Seymour.
Oh, in Christchurch?
A classic. Oh, yeah.
In Christchurch.
Okay, yep.
Okay.
Just checking that wasn't Auckland.
Are you still in the tourism industry?
No, I'm now in the accountancy area.
Oh, so you deal with numbers.
Have we asked enough questions? IRD. Have we asked enough? Do you play any sports, any hobbies?
I used to row.
Oh, SJ the rower who went to that's, I mean, this is a sitter. This is a
is
sitter.
Is it? Is it? Okay, that's what? Absolute... Do we need to know any more information?
Do you have a boyfriend or a husband or a partner or a girlfriend or?
I have a wife.
A wife?
Yes.
That's why I said girlfriend at the end. Because as I was saying, I was like, I'm
you're very presumptuous.
You're being very presumptuous.
Okay, right. So you've got a wife. Okay.
What do we do now?
So we start taking some callers and see if anybody knows SJ.
Okay.
Let's go to line one. Jane, good morning.
Hi, hey, SJ. Hello.
Do you know SJ?
I do. I've been friends with her for quite a wee while and I went to her wedding last year in Hawaii.
You got married in Hawaii!
Hello.
Yeah. Yay!
So, Sarah Jane, you know who Jane is?
I do.
Great.
She's a great friend.
How did you guys meet? How did you guys become friends?
Through a mutual friend called Nicole.
Yeah. Oh, through Nicole. They both said through Nicole. We can confirm that.
That is great. Okay, well, there we go. Do we carry on?
Yeah.
Mallory, good morning.
Good morning.
How do you know Sarah Jane or SJ?
Her dad used to date my mum.
What?
SJ know that?
I love this.
SJ, did your... Dad used to date Mallory's mum?
What's
your mum's name, Mallory?
Jenny. Well, my dad lives down south in Matera. Oh.
Is that incorrect? Is that not the same Mallory?
No.
Your dad?
No.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, that'd be a shocking way to learn out your dad was living a double life. Yeah. Your dad and my mum date. Well, I mean, mum and dad have been happily married forever.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, incorrect.
Danielle.
Yes.
How do you know Sarah Jane?
I believe we might have been in the same year at Avonside.
Oh, okay. So that would mean what year did you start Avonside?
2005, I think it was.
Sarah Jane?
Okay. What year did you start Avonside, Sarah Jane?
Same year.
Since 2005.
So you would know each other.
Yeah. Is it a big school?
Is her last name Andrews? Well, original last name Andrews?
No.
No?
Oh.
The Jane.
Oh, so that's no. That's
is,
a
that
no
a, is that a no, Sarah Jane?
That's a no.
Okay, put that on a no. So that's two no's and one yes.
Okay, well, do we come back next? And... Is that how this works, or do you just want to end it? Do you want to end it here?
No, we've got to find someone else who knows.
I tell you what, go to line one.
Okay.
Luke.
How's it going?
Good. Do you know Sarah Jane? Do you know SJ?
I think I might know her partner. Is her partner's or her wife's name Sophie Brown?
It is indeed.
Yes!
Yeah!
That's a two-all. That's a hot two-all draw. Two people that did it and two people that did. We come back next with a tiebreaker.
You just want to sing the jingle intro again, don't you?
Oh, yeah, next time when we come back, yeah.
Okay.
We can't sing it yet because we don't know.
How do you know if it's really SJ? How do you know if it's him or her?
I thought we were doing the full name.
No, we decided to go to SJ. Two syllables is always the better option.
One is enough.
As it stands, we've had two people who can confirm that they did know SJ, who went to...
Avonside?
Yep.
What's Avonhead?
It's a different one.
Different place.
Side of the Avon and one's head of the Avon.
The head of the Avon. Right. That actually makes a great amount of sense. Huge amount of sense. So she did some rowing. She got married, it turns out. We're learning more. See, she gives us some information and then other people ring in and if they know her, they give us more information. She got married to her wife last year in Hawaii. Sounds very flashy.
Very ooh-la-la, yeah.
And she's still on the phone with us. So two people did not have the right SJ and two people did. So we're looking for a tiebreaker.
This is the tiebreaker. Okay, because what happens if we get a win here?
We do the end song that's the victory.
Right, okay.
And there's an end song where it's not a victory.
Right, Rick, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How do you think you know SJ?
I think I know her from back in the day when I was a young fella. I used to live with a friend of hers and she just used to live around the corner from me.
Loose, Rick.
Loose on the info, Rick. SJ, does that...
The last name's Eckold, if it's the Sarah Jane I'm thinking of.
SJ?
Is that you, SJ?
No, that's not me, sorry.
Oh, no!
You
know what that means.
Nobody knows that it's really SJ. Nobody knows that it's him or her.
It's the failure outro. SJ, thanks so much for playing. That was...
You're welcome.
It was good. People knew who you were. You've obviously left an impression on
lives. But not the majority of people.
She doesn't need your picture.
I've had plenty of messages from people saying, I can hear you on the radio.
Well, why didn't they call? Wait a minute.
We've done the loser outro. We're not taking more calls.
I just want to let you know, Laura, your best friend, called. She's on line 7. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
It's too late, Laura. Where were you before?
I know. I only just flicked to the radio station.
Never leave us, Laura. This will happen again. This could happen again at any stage.
SJ's on the radio.
Yeah.
She was at my house last night for tea.
Oh, what'd you have for tea?
We had a roast.
Oh!
What kind of roast?
A roast
lamb.
On a Monday night.
Yeah.
Lamb? Roast lamb?
Chicken. Just chicken.
It's right down there in terms of roasts, eh, chicken?
No,
the bottom roast.
I'd go that over lamb. Or
chicken gravy.
Ever since Countdown started selling them in a plastic bag, they've lost their specialty. I remember as a kid, a hot chicken was a bloody treat. Now, how did mum get when she can't be bothered cooking?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Laura. A little bit late, but if you'd just got in front of Rick, it would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, all right. And
you know what we're going to try?
Thank you, SJ.
Thanks so much, SJ. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
You know what we're going to try next time? We're going to try, and a couple of people have recommended this, and we're not too good to take your suggestions on how to make the show better because we've got no idea. Next time, we're going to do chain version. So say Sarah, SJ called up.
Yeah.
So the next person calls up, they know SJ. The game becomes about the person who knew SJ.
Yes.
So
okay.
It would be then Laura.
And then, yes, and then we'd be like, how do you know if it's really Laura? And then we take another caller if anyone knows Laura.
Does that mean we have to sing the intro every time?
Yes.
That's the best
for every
part.
Person. And it goes in a chain and we see how many we can do unbroken.
Oh, right, okay.
So it could go on forever.
And then we challenge ourselves. It could
literally
go on forever.
Okay, and when are we going to do this? Next week?
Oh, just next, actually, after the song.
No.
Oh, no, we'll give it a bit of a rest.
We'll give it a rest.
FEM. Fact of the day.
Today's fact of the day is about a feminist anthem.
Okay.
A song that's been around for ages, and despite the fact it's so old, still gets played often, and it will forever be known as one of the original feminist anthems.
Okay.
Have you got my laptop ready to go?
I have your DJ Fader Vornox is up.
I am, of course, referring to Aretha Franklin.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need,
oh, God.
You know I got it. And all I'm asking,
did you just want to sing the song?
Is that a little respect, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You'd agree. Feminist anthem, right? She talks about how she needs that respect. What you want, I got it.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Tell me what it means to me.
So she's got what she wants. It's referring to, of course, the female form.
Yeah.
She's like, if you want this, it's going to need some respect.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let me tell you, that song originally written about women not respecting men enough when they bring home their paycheck. Otis Redding, who wrote that song, actually wrote it about getting home after a hard day's work and not getting the respect he deserved from his woman.
Oh, no!
Oh.
Citing that dinner wasn't ready and the house wasn't tidy enough and other such things.
Was it meant to be sung by her?
No.
Oh, so that's the ultimate in twist, isn't it?
I know. It's even and more feminist that she took the song. Here's a bit of his.
It's not as powerful, is it? All I'm asking for is respect.
And he talks about how she doesn't respect him enough for the hard day's work he's done to bring her home what she wants and what she needs.
Oh dear.
And then it was spun around. And her version, Aretha Franklin's version, are always in the like top 10 songs ever released.
Right.
So Rolling Stone did a 500 greatest songs of all time, and her song was number 5 in that list. And always up there, feminist anthems, one of the original feminist anthems, people saying that, you know, Aretha Franklin gave birth to the likes of Beyonce, wouldn't have been able to do what they do without Aretha Franklin. And the song that made her massive was a song that was not originally a feminist anthem, but about a woman not respecting her man enough for a hard day's work.
Did she change any of the lyrics?
Yeah, they were changed a little bit.
Right.
She knew that's what it was about, but she wanted to take it back.
Yeah, and
that's cool.
He got writer credit and
a clip around the ear.
Trust or estate still gets money every time that's played.
Right.
So, I mean, he's probably not too bummed out about it.
He's still getting a big fat paycheck.
He gets the money from her rather than the other way around.
Yes.
So today's fact of the day is feminist anthem Respect was originally written with quite a different meaning.
Fact of the day.
FM. Last calls. Cassia, what's your story for last calls?
Hi, so I've got this 4-year-old brother.
Yeah.
He's got 4 older sisters, so, you know, we give him a bit of grief.
Now, are you full siblings? All of you got the same mum and dad?
Yep.
So wow, like they were really gunning for that son, eh? They're like, okay, Steve, 5th time lucky. If not, we're writing off the chances of you having your son, Steve.
Yeah, so he's pretty full on. Like, he's got a bit of ADHD, I think.
Yeah.
So we take him to the base one day and we go into Toy World. So we're looking around all the toys and he goes missing. And we're like, where the hell has he gone?
Yeah.
So we hear these like cars tooting and stuff, and we actually look out the door and he's got his pants down his ankles facing the roundabout at the base, peeing on the ground.
That's pretty funny.
He just does not care at all. He's got no shame. And previous to this, we were in North Beach, and he actually comes along, and this girl was bending over, and he just smacks her bum and runs off.
Yeah.
These are all Hamilton locations I've picked up.
He's going to be
Hamilton's finest.
I thought when you said you were in Toy World and you heard cars beeping, he jumped on one of those little battery-powered cars.
That would be great.
Out the door he'd gone. That would be a great high-speed chase.
How do you claim responsibility, though? I just kind of walk away.
I actually went into shame and I
said. Yeah, I was going to say, for older sisters, that's huge.
Exactly. All right, wait there, Cassia. Let's go to Carolyn. Caroline, what's your story for last calls?
The other week, I totally stacked it. When I was trying to feed my goat and take the compost out,
I
had some bread in my hand and a compost in the other hand. It was dark out. It was slightly raining, so I was in a rush.
Yeah.
And I quickly was going up the back, and I didn't see a metal basket. And I slammed into it, went flying face first into wet ground, into the wet grass, my bum up in the air, and the compost all landed on the back of my head.
Oh, yuck, potato skins.
Mostly noodles.
Oh, yuck.
Noodles, okay. Can you compost noodles?
Sure, you can compost anything.
Yeah, it's
food,
isn't it?
It is, it's just noodles is
starchy,
like...
starch. Oh. I never put bread in the compost either.
Why not bread? You can put everything in there.
It breaks down.
I think worms are gluten-free, aren't they? They've never had
them. Oh, yeah, you've got celiac worms.
You've got picky worms.
Yeah, very picky worms.
All right, let's vote now. The Tribal Council, our favourite story.
Congratulations, Cassia.
Oh, thank you so much.
Story of your brother weighing on the roundabout.
Your troublesome brother has won you a $100 fuel card. Congratulations.
Oh, that's so awesome.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
For more, check out ZM online. ZM.